You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Married to Medicine After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Married to Medicine After Show.
Okay. All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to another AfterBuzz TV After Show. This is for Married to Medicine. It's season 2, episode 10. And the title of the episode is... Steven, our engineer's
blind date.
Blind date. I am your host, Michelle Renee, and I'm joined with one of my lovely co-hosts,
English Cleveland. Hey, y'all.
And Jocelyn Polite will not be with us tonight, but we miss you, Jocelyn, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.
So we are going to jump right into this episode. The reason why we came into More Money, More Problems is because, of course, we see Quad dealing with the investors for her, let me get the name right, Picture Perfect Pups. Puppy Couture line.
Right.
We also see Toya and her husband dealing with some financial issues with their down payment for their house. And overall, I guess, also maybe Simone and her husband, because their issues are kind of related to money.
Yeah.
At this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, what did you think of this episode overall?
Overall, it was a little bit of a breath of fresh air because there was no talking about Quad and Mariah.
Yes.
And even I like the way it opened. It opened with positivity. Everyone's doing something. Mariah's sitting in her office behind her desk, which we've never seen, which was a different, you know, scenario for her. Then we see Dr. Heavenly and her daughter cooking. Then we see what's her name? LaToya. Taking her kids to school. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's doing something, showing that they're moving. So it started off positive, and I like how the scenes were shot. I overall do like this episode. I appreciate it a little bit more because you get to see people's real life. Like, we got to see, like, everyone, like, deep in their life.
Yeah. I agree with that part, but I will say that it was a little bit boring, maybe.
So is it...
So now I get it. I get why they do the drama.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Other than that, it's just kind of like...
I was going to say, is it boring when Quad and Mariah aren't fighting?
I mean, I just think that the way they put the episode together wasn't necessarily that entertaining. Not that I want to see fighting all the time. There was parts of this that were entertaining. But
it was
really
jumpy.
The only part is that, is like Simone and Cecil. Like, that part I liked. The model search, okay. Maybe the argument between... Dr. G and Quad. Maybe that was a little entertaining.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just thought this episode was one of the slower ones.
I think the argument of this episode was Dr. G and Quad.
Which we will get to.
Yeah.
So, I know we had a few fans reach out to us on Twitter and wanted us to touch on some things that we missed last week.
Yes.
So, you want to go ahead and...
Yeah. So, one of the Twitter followers, which her and I have gotten into a lot of conversation. I think it was... I can't remember her name exactly, so I don't want to get it wrong, but she knows who she is. She says, Mariah apologized to Quad. Why didn't Quad accept that? Is that her way of staying relevant?
Okay. Can you explain that to me? I don't get it.
I think because when Mariah and Quad were in the tranquility room and she was like, I'm sorry, Mariah, Quad, if you think da-da-da-da-da, like one of those type of apologies, I think... this fan is taking it as Mariah apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't Quad was like, oh, I can't take this. She kind of just like dismissed that. Is that Quad's way of staying relevant? As long as her and Mariah are still arguing, is that, that's how I took the question.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
I don't think it was a natural apology, and they're in the midst of everyone, and it was like, I'm not getting down off my chariot to throw tomatoes. Then you wanna...
Okay, so we're going a few episodes back.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I just think that with as much drama that they have built up, it's not as easy as a I'm sorry.
If you took it that way.
Type thing.
Right.
I think that at this point, there's been too many arguments. There's been too many rumors. And it's just the bad blood is just continuing to build and get worse. And so I think that for them to really work it out, they need to sit down and discuss what I went wrong. Yeah, what I did wrong, what you did wrong, how we felt, you know.
Yeah.
You know how the conversations go. So I think that's maybe why she didn't accept her apology, just because I think she wants more. I think she wants closure, and closure in a situation like this is more than just a like, well, I'm sorry, do you forgive me?
Right. So, I mean, I feel like it was a good question, and I said I would ask it, so there you go, girlfriend. Here's another question by a male, one of our male followers, and he's a fan as well, and him and I have gotten into lots of discussion as well on Twitter. He says, why do the girls treat Mariah like that? Which that could mean a lot of things. Is it because she always says she's the queen bee?
When he says treat her like that, we're saying like
shading her or everyone's against Mariah or why is it that she can't come to the couples retreat? I think that's what he was getting to. Is it because she always referenced herself as the queen bee? What do you think?
I think, okay, well, in the instance that they're not inviting her to the girls' trip, I think it's just like they had to make a decision, and I don't know if that was them personally wanting to make a decision or the producers kind of like egging them on to be like, hey, choose one or the other. But in that instance, it was just like they wanted Quad to go over Mariah, so it was just kind of like the lesser of two evils, maybe.
I saw on Quad's or on Mariah's Twitter last week, because people were like, well, why did you show up late? And they were kind of shading her about it. And she said a lot of it is the producers, which is interesting to me, is that she's an executive producer. So how aren't you making these executive decisions on something that everyone keeps saying it's the Mariah show? Like someone on one of our comments on YouTube made a comment by saying, are we watching the same show? Does everyone not know that this is Mariah's show?
Well, I mean, I think it is produced, and regardless if she's a producer or not, she knows what's going to get ratings.
And her
so
role
it may be the producers, but...
But the thing is, her role, everyone needs to understand this, is that her role as a producer is very minimal. Like, it was her idea. Of course they're going to give her producing credit because this is her idea. She pitched it to them. But at the end of the day, their say overrules. They're the money behind it. They're the investment. They're the ones sending them to all these trips and doing all, and paying them. So I feel like everyone thinks because Mariah, if this was her idea and she's an executive producer, that her role is bigger than what it really is. Hmm. What do you think? Because it's now she's, because the way I feel, why I feel that way now, especially too, is that she's blaming that some of the scenes look that way because of the producers. And if she was a top producer, it wouldn't have came out that way.
Well, I mean, I kind of disagree because I feel like even if she is a top producer, she knows what's going, maybe she doesn't personally know what's going to sell, but I'm sure she has people at Bravo being like, look, this is what you need to do. Look, this is what needs to happen. Like, and so she's going to acquiesce and do it because she knows that that's going to get ratings. That's going to get another season. So even if there is an instance where it's going to make her look bad, air quotes on bad.
So then why is she defending herself and blaming it on them?
I mean, because at the end of the day, she knows it's going to, it made her look bad. But she still wants to defend herself and not have it make her look bad, if that makes sense.
But if she agreed to it, then why would she agree to something that would make her look bad?
To get ratings.
But then blame it on them?
Yeah.
That's silly. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it makes sense, but I just think at the end of the day, like, it's like, what is she going to do? Like, the producers are going to be like, well, we think this would make good drama. Is she going to say, no, I'm not going to do it? That would turn out worse for her. So I think she just would probably, and I mean, if I were in her position, I would just maybe, like, agree to do it and then kind of, like, deal with the repercussions later. Because
then
I think while there are people that are, like, attacking her, like, oh, why were you late? I think there's also, like, people that are, like, not necessarily seeing anything wrong with her showing up late or not, or on that are on her side.
Yeah.
So I think she's probably just defending herself to those people that are, like, critiquing her for being late or critiquing her for bringing a bodyguard or whatever, you know? Mm. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know. The fans are bringing out the hard-hitting questions, and we don't have the answers. But
they came this week. Like, we had 50 comments, full discussions, you know, wide variety of opinions. And we really appreciate you guys doing that every week. And now it's like, I feel like I am not only sitting talking to you, but it's like now I'm having like a connection with people that actually watch our show. Yeah. So as usual, you guys need to go on to iTunes, rate, comment, give us 5 stars, continue to have chats with us on YouTube or on our Twitter, ask us questions, throw us shade, send us love. And
we like the love more than we like the shade.
We really do.
And nobody better not say anything about me looking bald headed this week because I have my hair in a low bun, so I know I'm looking crazy. But anyway, so
she said she was going to say that.
So. I did, just to let y'all know. Okay. So let's just jump into this
episode. Do you think they would say something like that? They're that shady?
Know. People get nasty sometimes. Maybe they somebody do. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed and is like, right. Michelle looks crazy. I don't know. But it's okay. I get it. I'm very self deprecating. I get that I look kind of crazy right now. But anyway, so it's the headphones, man. But,
right.
So this episode, Jackie and Simone, that's how it starts. They're planning this golf outing, which we can discuss that later.
Okay.
Picture Perfect Pups, the puppy couture clothing line that Miss Quad is started, and she's partnered with Rico Chappelle, our favorite additional Married to Medicine
now
cast member.
We have two reoccurring cast members.
I'm going to get on Dwight a little bit later. Okay. But, okay. So, pretty much the meeting goes well. We saw her meet with these people a few episodes ago, and mm-hmm. they tell her, we need samples. Mm-hmm. She brings the samples. Not going to lie. They were cute.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was impressed. Mm-hmm. And when she even put them on the dogs, they looked cute. The dogs didn't seem to be, like, itching or pissed off if they had to put it on. So, good for her. She says the next step is a fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks for $30,000.
Right.
So my question is, $30,000, too much, too little, just right for a fashion show? For a puppy couture clothing line?
The thing is, I know she's saying that she wants to debut them in Nordstrom's and Neiman's and Saks and Birdoff's and all that, all the high-end mm-hmm. stores. And I know that they want a high quality. And if she's wanting to premiere these lines in that, those type of stores, then I will say $30,000 isn't that much because the amount of fabric that she has to buy. And I don't know if she has to pay Rico and, you know, being able to get all the lights and the stage and mm-hmm. this. I think it will even out.
You think it's good?
I think actually now that I think about it, it may be a little too less.
Too little?
Yeah.
Well, let's just back up. Okay. So do you think that it's feasible that this clothing line will even make it or would be sold in somewhere like Neiman Marcus?
Well, if she's using high-end quality, like she's saying ostrich feathers and down for mm-hmm. those bubble jackets. And, you know, if she's using quality like we would like to wear from, you know, that we usually go to Nordstrom's and Neiman's for, then yes, then I think that it could, because I haven't seen a puppy line in any of these stores.
Yeah.
And not a puppy couture line. And I know that, you know, my grandma has a small little Yorkie and I have a big dog. When my grandma buys clothes for her dog, it's like $30, which is like a tiny little skirt, you know, like tutu. So I don't know. I think it could possibly do good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit ambitious just because this is her first clothing line. It's her first venture. I don't know. Maybe she's done things with fashion in the past. I don't want to say that she hasn't, and then mm-hmm. she has, and someone comes after me for that. But I don't know. I think it's a bit ambitious. I think, number one, she needs to talk to Lisa Nicole, because Lisa Nicole's line, like, is a clothing line. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of fabrics she uses, but she even said herself, like, right now it's being sold in, like, 40 boutiques or something around the country, and we're trying to move up. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of been, like, a progression of, like, her, like, working her way up and, like, starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then Rico, we see he has, like, House of Chappelle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's sold in, like, major department stores.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I think she could get there, especially if she's using the right quality fabrics. But it's just, like, how often does that happen overnight?
Yeah. It may take some time.
Yeah.
And I think with her, she just – it's good that she's using this show for that reason, because mm-hmm. it may catapult from the show and someone may be like, you know what, Nordstrom's doesn't. Because I was thinking, I was like, I haven't seen a puppy line. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have, but I love Nordstrom, so I've never seen a puppy line there. But it doesn't seem too far-fetched, because I know here in LA
people have dogs and they
bring them to the to Nordstrom's and to all of these high-end department stores. So, yeah. I mean, they can go get shoes for them and Louboutin and in Nordstrom's, and then they can go to get their dog a little
ostrich, bubble vest.
Bubble vest.
Well, I don't have a dog, so I've definitely never seen it because I've never been looking for it. But I don't know. Good luck for her. Maybe she should start on HSN because, you know, a lot of the Bravo celebrities. They do the HSN thing.
Yeah, so. maybe she will. And then maybe it'll progress from that. But I think ultimately her ultimate goal is to have them in high-end fashion stores. And she wants to premiere them in this fashion show in these stores. So maybe there will be buyers there that will be like, hey, it's already at Nordstrom's. They're going to send all their buyers. Maybe they'll be like, hey, this may work, this may not. Or maybe an HSN buyer may come and they'll be like, hey. So maybe, I don't know. But hopefully it works out for her.
Yeah.
She needs something. And obviously, we'll get into her husband's rant.
Yeah.
But it seemed like his rant wasn't just about that.
He went off, didn't he?
He was mad.
We're going to get to that later. Okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of money and hundreds of thousands of... Well, actually, not hundreds of thousands, but thousands of dollars.
50,000.
50,000. Yeah. So what would that... That's not hundreds of thousands. How would I say that?
Just $50,000.
Well, no, plus 10.
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. Thousands of dollars. 60,000 to be exact. 50,000 plus 10,000. Okay, to be even more exact. Toya and Ernest, her husband, we saw them dealing with the issues.
Is that his name? Eugene.
Oh, who's Ernest?
I don't know.
Ernest Money. That's okay. Ernest Money. Okay, I know I was like going crazy.
I was like, wait, is that his name?
Our name is LaToya and his name is Ernest. We're just giving them all new names. But anyway, okay.
Right.
So Toya and her husband, we saw them struggling last episode with this whole fiasco about the house. They mentioned some $50,000 deposit they made. The bank was taking too long on the loan. They were in jeopardy of losing the house. Well, they sit down to lunch with their lawyer. And she goes through the contract with them, says there's no loophole. If they don't give an additional 10 grand in earnest money, then they will lose their $50,000 and the contract's going to be void and they're not going to be able to buy the house.
Okay, so what's your question?
I'm just recapping in case anybody didn't look at the show and are only watching our after show.
Now you're repeating it, it's making me upset.
It's making you upset? Why are you upset, English?
Well, Michelle... Let me take a breath on this one. The main reason why I would be upset is, okay, your husband, like you said, is a black man that's making all of this money, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. He didn't read his contract. He didn't know what the contract said. Did he not understand that he could possibly have to be giving in more money? Did they not understand the expiring date of this contract that they could lose that money? And all of a sudden, you don't have $10,000 extra dollars. We ain't got the money, honey. No, we don't. You don't have $10,000 extra to save your $50,000 because of why? If your husband makes all of this money and you guys are balling out of control and you've bought furniture for a house that you don't have, you have
talked about the little boys the house.
You've walked the kids through the house. You said you didn't have to look at the price tags on the furniture that you were buying for this home. But you don't have $10,000. Can you take the table back?
That's what I was saying. She better return that stuff and get that $10,000.
And get the $10,000 so you can save your house. But it seemed so weird. It seemed like her husband wasn't fazed. I feel like it was some shady deal. I feel like it was something they got themselves into that they weren't careful enough to read. And if your husband owns all these businesses and is this smart and this educated and this black and this and gotten this amount of money, he should have had enough sense to read the contract and have an extra $10,000.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I agree 100%. To me, it's a bit strange that they don't have $10,000.
The whole situation.
You don't have an extra $10,000?
The whole scenario is wrong. When she was talking about saying, we put down $50,000 and we're waiting on the house and it's still taking so long to close. Now you've lost the house. How'd you lose the house?
And, okay, when they first got to lunch or dinner or whatever it was like, here goes the stipulate. Like, here's what we're discussing at this dinner. And there was no discussion.
No.
And it was just like throughout the evening, they kept like referencing the fact, oh, we lost the house. And it's like, wait, I thought y'all were going to discuss whether or not y'all were going to come up with the $10,000. But they never, maybe they did discuss it and they just didn't show
us that.
But it was like, when was the discussion and how did you reach this, you know, decision that you weren't going to give them an extra 10 grand
because,
or that you didn't have it?
Because the way the lawyer proposed it, she said it three times in five different ways. Well, if that makes sense. She was like, If you guys don't give the $10,000, you will lose your $50,000. If you guys don't give the $10,000, you will not be in this house.
Yeah.
If you guys do not give this $10,000, you will not have the house and you won't have your money. So what are you going
to
do?
And then cut to Toya. We just lost $50,000. I'm not eating.
And then like, her husband's like, I handle things differently. Ordered.
He won't go lose. I feel like $20
he already knew this.
That's what I was gonna say. I think that this scene was very contrived. I think that obviously last episode, like, she had already come forth with that information, like, discussed the house. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I don't know if this whole situation about the bank was true and mm-hmm. whatever, but I think for the show's purpose, she had to bring some closure to that situation and kind of wrap it up.
Yeah.
And so it was this, like, $10,000
conversation. But the thing is, like I said last week, I feel like when people aren't telling the truth, they talk too much. And I felt like, remember when Jocelyn, you didn't feel this way, but we felt like, why would you put the amount that you put down? Why is that something business-wise, our business to even hear how much you put down on your house? You know what I mean? So I felt like when you talk too much, it comes off as that you're lying about something. And I don't know what she is lying about, but it just seems like you're talking too much. And then the waiter comes to the table and you're like, girl, you bringing all that food? Honey, I just lost $50,000. Like, why are you telling everyone this? I don't, it's weird. It's some kind of weird.
Yeah, it's strange.
And then how she will jump into, I don't know if you want to talk about this now, when it does cut back to her in the house conversation, how she acts when she finds a new house.
Let's discuss. Okay, so just to recap for everybody, she runs into someone.
She drops her kids off.
And miraculously runs into one of her son's colleague's parents at the school, whose husband is an NBA player, got traded, yada yada. They have to move ASAP all of a sudden. And so their house is going to be on the market for rent. Mm-hmm. And Toya's like, this is perfect. We have to move into this house. And she goes to the house and gets out of the car in a very stalkerish manner. Like, hops up on the gate and looks at the house and is like, my house is going to have a gate on it. I'm so excited. Yada, 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 yada. So, yeah, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go.
Okay. For the house that size, I think it's going to cost a lot of money for them to rent it. Are you, like, renting to own it?
They don't want it anymore. They're going to sell it, so we're just going to lease to own.
Okay. If you're going to lease to own, that's great.
But I feel like then after that she says, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, I missed that part. And I missed her saying they were leasing to own it. I thought she was just saying they were going to rent it, which I feel like a lot of people
she
in
Atlanta.
She said
they're selling it, and so it'll be on the market, and they're listing it as lease to own. Okay. She said, do you guys want to rent it or lease to own? She said, lease to own, they're going to lease to own. So that sounds great, right? But I don't even know what that is.
I just feel like a lot of people in Atlanta, we've seen this with, like, Kim Zolciak, for example, and, like, other Real Housewives characters, they rent their houses.
She by Sheree?
Well, I guess. Did she ever have that?
Her house? She by Sheree never even got off the ground.
Yeah. You know, and just in general, like, I think Kenya, was it Kenya or Kenya, what's the other one?
Portia.
Like, a lot of them rent their houses, and, like, they're nice houses, and it's just, like, you're putting, like, thousands of dollars into this house that you're just renting. Like,
and
could buy your own house. And so if they're going to buy it, no.
And just like,
I mean, if they're going to rent it, no.
And we were discussing, and you made a comment, and you were like, as we're looking, and they're not women to look up to, as we've seen these many years. So it's not like the housewives of glory to look up to. But we've seen these women, they're supposedly housewives that we're supposed to see how housewives operate. Mm-hmm. If you're renting a home, Why? Where's your money? I don't get it. Like, where's your money going into?
Yeah.
Like, why are you guys all renting these houses? Weird.
I mean, I just think it comes back to, like, what I said earlier about, like, this her disclosing too much in the beginning with this house situation last episode, and then her having to, like, try to, like, right her wrongs this episode by being like, okay, well, we lost out on this deal, but we don't really care because, look, now all of a sudden this other miraculous house comes up.
And it's a lease to own. And I don't know what that is. And we're going to move in. She's like, I don't live in a gated community. I live behind a gate. And it looked like a huge, beautiful house. But it's like, you guys lost out on all this money. You don't have $10,000 extra dollars. So how are you going to afford
that house? Yeah.
Because it looks very, I mean, even lease to own, it's almost equivalent to a mortgage payment. Like, you're paying into your mortgage.
Yeah.
So how, you know, I know Atlanta.
And she hasn't even looked inside
the house. And the furniture that you bought is, and she's like, I did measurements.
Yeah. I just think she was trying to, like, save face and trying to make everything better.
I don't think she's going to
make herself feel better. And I can guarantee you any amount of money that she does not live in that house that she. She might still live in the house, and maybe we need to do our research on this. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to tell them how old they were, and I forgot about that. But anyway,
Someone wrote on our YouTube and gave us everyone's ages.
Oh, thank you, whoever you were. Thank you, sweetheart.
I can't remember.
Charge it to the head, not to the heart. But yeah, I'll do the research and figure out where she lives, because I can guarantee you she doesn't live in that NBA player's house. We know she don't live in the house.
And she was like, honey, she seems like so superficial. She's like, honey, and guess what, too? He was an NBA player, and, you know, he's going to Milwaukee. And if he's an NBA player, that means the house is nice. Like, what are your dreams and ambitions, girlfriend? Like, where is your head? If I lost $50,000, I would be angry. And the way she acted at the table, like, I can't eat, I'm going to stand outside. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, she's like, well, mommyhood doesn't stop no matter what mood I'm in.
Maybe that was editing. We don't know when those scenes were taken. But, I mean, if you lose $50,000, I think you just need to stay put for a second. You don't need to move right away.
Girl.
You might want to move. There might be some robberies going on at the local gas station down the street. But I think you just need to hold off for a second, pump your brakes, just take a second to reevaluate, recount those coins. Do whatever you need to do, but
and did they not know their contract was going to expire? I'm sorry, I keep going back because it seems so weird to me. Mm. Didn't they have the expiration date?
I don't know. Well, we'll see. Best of luck to you, LaToya.
Toya.
I know, I'm just being stupid now. I know her name is Toya. But okay, so someone that seems to, for the most part, have their stuff together, business, marriage, family.
She's a good housewife to look up to.
Lisa Nicole.
Own money.
Own coins. Miss Lisa Nicole. Mm-hmm. We see her and Dwight, who has made himself. He was a real housewife of Atlanta. Now he's
married to medicine.
He's married to medicine now. I thought it was. I'm like literally like looking at the TV like, you're kidding me. When he was in the confessional, he's like actually made his way into the confessional booth.
Like they do his hair and makeup.
Yes. I mean, more power like, to him, I guess.
Like, Dwight has a call time.
Yeah.
Dwight has a star on a trailer to get ready in. Part of the cast.
More power to him if he can work his way, because he's been trying for years. But I'm getting tired of seeing him.
And Dwight, he is like, I don't think he's that type of friend that's going to tell you what you're wrong. He just praises whatever because he just wants to be
there.
There.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he is there this episode helping Lisa Nicole. Yeah. I mean, his outfit was kind of okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the outfit.
It was 60.
He always has something like flamboyant and like crazy on and like, you know, so that was to be expected. But he's there helping Lisa Nicole pick his models. And get her fashion show together. Mm-hmm. And what exactly does Dwight do? Because I thought does he own his own salon or?
No, Dwight never did hair.
Not a hair salon. I thought he owned like a spa type nail salon or something. Did I make that up?
Yeah.
An esthetician thing? Maybe?
I've never heard of Dwight. I always
so he's an event planner.
Planning parties and events.
Okay, so he's an event planner. So, because I was going to ask, why is he there? Because I'm a little bit unsure as to why Quad is there.
Okay.
I get why Cynthia's there. Mm-hmm.
Dwight's there is because he's planning the event.
The event,
with her.
Okay.
Because she said this is going to be the biggest event Atlanta's ever seen. And usually whenever people go over the top, there's always a scene with Dwight. Didn't he help Kim with her wedding or something he helped her with?
No.
He was something.
He helped Phaedra. He helps Phaedra with every party she has.
Yes. And then he did something with Kim, some event. I don't know. Dwight's always...
Yeah, no.
And
he's
then remember
there,
him and Sheree were cool. So he's always, like, involved in everyone's situations.
Okay. All right. I mean, I get it. For the model search part, though, it's like...
Really? I think he, I don't know, maybe he was just looking at the space.
But yeah, they do the model search, and just like every other model search we've seen in the history of reality television on Bravo, it starts off with them being like, this is who we have, and a montage of a bunch of girls that like don't know how to walk, that are like 5 foot tall, that are too skinny, too big. For whatever reason, the girls just suck. But then, of course, it does this miraculous, like, turnaround, and everyone's like, oh, finally, some great models. And, you know,
I'm so glad it's going to turn out
I'm so glad it's going to turn out great. We found some really good girls because I was starting to get worried.
Right.
Listen, we get it. Like, when you do a casting, you're going to have some duds and you're going to have some good ones. So, next time, let's just save the 3 minutes
the drama for your mama.
Seeing those girls walk, and we can just get to the good models. But it looks like they did find some good ones.
Right.
And her fashion show, I'm assuming, is going to go off without a hitch. But I'll save my thoughts until predictions.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I don't know why Quad was here, though.
Yeah.
That was weird. I don't know. Is she now a model, or is she a fashion show, or is she, I don't know, like a fashion show guru? I don't know.
Well, maybe she's going to have girls walking the dogs. That would be cute. No.
But
like in her fashion show, like models like walking the dogs like on a leash as they have their outfits on, that would be cute.
Yeah, well, I mean, the dogs can't walk down the runway by themselves, right?
Well, they can, but they might like get a little
girl
distracted.
It would be a disaster. Imagine you can't train a dog walk down the runway and come right back.
If you have that begging strip at the end of the runway, shoot,
a begging
dog
strip.
I want a begging strip. Those begging strips look good on the commercial. Y'all know they do.
Good though.
You tried it?
You had a begging strip? Oh, okay. Honesty hour.
On his birthday, he's giving us all the information. Mm.
Okay, so, yeah, we already discussed Toya and the house. Okay, so the next big thing. No, we're going to save that till the end. Okay. Dr. Simone and her husband. But this is a really big scene.
What?
Models?
Oh, okay. Models.
Well, if you want to lose weight and look like the models in this episode,
then you need to go on. This was so natural.
Yeah, I messed it up. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Our producer and owner of our fabulous AfterBuzz studio, Maria Menounos, happy birthday, girlfriend. Today is her birthday, and she also just released her new book, The Everyday's Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. She lost 40 pounds. I can't even talk right now. She lost 40 pounds and she kept it off. And you can do it too. So we need you guys to go onto Amazon or any bookstore wherever it's sold and purchase this. It's
only
reasonably priced. Yeah, it's reasonably priced. And she has recipes and really cool stuff in here. And she's a best-selling author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. So go purchase both of the books and it'll change your life for the summer, so we can be looking like some of these models, right?
I know that's
we
right.
have the book,
so I can be looking like Miss Quad, honey.
Snatched.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, Quad, speaking of her, she and her husband have a nasty falling out on this episode, and it was a little bit unwarranted in my opinion. She's playing with her dogs. Oh, excuse me, let me not call them dogs. She's playing with her children, her right. babies. What are their names?
Kyrie and Chloe.
Okay, cute names for dogs. And her husband just comes in and just goes off. Why are you playing with these dogs? You're not doing anything for society. You, of all people, know how it is. People trying to make ends meet, and you're sitting here playing with dogs. Don't call them kids. Call them dogs. Whoa, Greg. What I did find interesting, though, is his voice got a little bit deeper when he was mad. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, and what I also found interesting about the scene is that Quad was more submissive than you would expect her to be, right?
Mm-hmm, she really was. I think, okay, this is how I feel about I feel like that was stemming from something else. I don't know if it's pent-up anger or if it's pent-up from a previous argument that a husband and wife would have got into. Because, you know, with guys, usually they hold in their feelings. And then when they explode, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you're like, wait, you're talking about something that happened, like, 3 years ago? Like, what? You know what I mean? So I don't know if this was just like he just popped off, but I do understand as a house, like a man that works a lot, shaking his leg, okay. A man that works a lot.
I thought we were having an earthquake.
Last week while we were filming, we did have an earthquake and I didn't even know until we got out. But anyway, that's off the subject.
We digress. Coming to you live from Los Angeles, California.
Right. So I felt like her husband is probably, because my assumption was that he had already knew she was doing this mm-hmm. clothing line, which we find out later that she hadn't told him about it. So I think he comes home and he's like, we were in a room painted for children with the chalkboard on the wall with their names on it. And it's like a school room, like you're teaching dogs. Like, in reality, I love my dog and I call her my child. I call her monkey. I call her all of these pet names, but she's a dog. You know what I mean? And she's not your children. She's not supposed to sleep with you. That's disgusting. At the end of the day, it's a dog.
Do you kiss her in the mouth?
No. Ooh. I think it's just like, you're a dog and I love you from the bottom of my heart. Like, I'm going to give you the best life. And like she said, I give them the best life and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, they're her dogs. You know what I mean? And so her husband's like, you sit at home, you play with these dogs all day. I'm sitting in this stupid room with giraffes painted on the wall for our children. And he actually wants to have a kid. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it comes off as frustrating to him. And then, you know, he's like, there's actually children, real kids out in the world that need help. And she kind of came attackful at him and was like, oh, well, I donate and da-da-da-da-da-da. And what do you do? And he's like, my job every day is saving people's lives, which is true. He's a doctor. And she's like, well, you earn money from that.
You made the comment, which I agree with, he had to pay for the school supplies. So you may have gone to the store and bought them, but with whose coins?
Hello. So he's like, I'm coming home. You ain't got a job. And he's like, you have all these ideas, but I don't ever see anything. You're calling these dogs our children, and you expect me just to sit here our whole marriage, not have a child, mm-hmm. and expect for these dogs to be our kids. No. Like, you're doing, and then he's like, if you of all people know where the struggle came from. So it's like, you're giving all of this money into all these dogs, and, you know, you didn't come from nothing. So it's like, he's like, you're changed, which seemed like inappropriate for TV for them to have that argument.
Well, I have two points to make about this. Number one, overall, I think that it was very fake, and I think it was contrived. Yes. Because, I mean, maybe we missed it. Maybe it was edited out. But the argument seemed to go from 0 to 60 in no time. Mm-hmm. So it seemed to me as if the producers maybe encouraged him to
get angry.
Get angry with her, but to have a discussion with her about the clothing line. Mm-hmm. Because the way he approached it, like, what is this? This is not the first time that there's no way that that's the first time he's seen her playing with those dogs. What is this? You know what this is because I'm sure you've seen it more than one time. And he was like breaking the fourth wall. The argument just seemed very disingenuine to me. It wasn't flowing like a real argument. It was weird to me.
It does come off weird because when he's angry or not, you can't really tell his emotions. Like he still smiles.
And then he was making jokes. And then, I mean, I just find it hard to believe that he wouldn't know that she's been working on a clothing line. Like, she's been talking about it, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I think it was inappropriate. I think it had some underlining things, and a lot of it we didn't know. It was previous, whether it was a previous argument or previous taping, or I don't know.
My other point, though, is that, I don't know, there seems to be a disconnect between the two points that he seems to be making in this argument. Do you want her to be a stay-at-home? Because she says, like, I think he's struggling with the fact that I'm going to go do my own thing.
And be independent.
So if that's the argument that she's making, then why would he be making the argument of, oh, you're not doing enough and you do nothing for the community? Because then essentially wouldn't that mean that he's encouraging you to go out and have your own charity?
I don't know.
So it doesn't really make sense. Is he mad because she's going to work, or does he want her to be a stay-at-home wife, or does he want her to get her own coins?
Because her coin scenario is surrounded by these dogs that she's calling her children, and he doesn't believe in her line. So he probably thinks this is all a big waste and you're not doing anything and you're not grateful, because if you were, then you would be actually helping real children, not these little dogs.
I mean, do you think that he would actually be upset, though, that if it was a dog clothing line or whatever, do you think that he would be upset if she was going out to get a job and becoming more independent? Does he strike you as that type?
No.
He doesn't strike me as that type either.
No.
But and I may be really reaching, mm-hmm. but taking into consideration what we see the previews for next week about like him kind of being like, oh, I'm kind of having troubles, maybe cheating. Maybe he knows that.
He said like, it's really hard to be faithful yeah, as a man.
Maybe and he kind of knows that that's his stronghold on her is the coins. And well, that if he wants to cheat, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, that is a huge assumption, and I'm not trying to say,
I mean,
you know.
To me, they don't really match. And for newlyweds, they don't really act like newlyweds. Their relationship, if I had to really sit down and think about it, isn't the most believable. Mm-hmm. But you just like, oh, maybe she really loves him. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think any man would maybe... I could see where they would have a problem with it because if you think about it, I'm sure, like, she's from not Detroit. The best area. I'm not going to say the ghetto. But they've discussed on the show how
Mariah said she pulled out the hood.
Well, she is from somewhere that
has drive-bys.
I don't know. I'm not going to say anything negative. But she's from somewhere that's maybe not a middle-class area. Let me just say that. And she married this doctor. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've only been married for a year. So, clearly, you married a doctor.
And then she hides stuff from him remember, she's taking birth control because she doesn't want to get pregnant. She didn't want to tell him.
That's a good point.
And then last season, we saw them talking about weird stuff, too.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that.
I forgot. But they were sitting down at some restaurant talking about their marriage.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is that, like, if she married him, he was a doctor... Like, for the first year and a half of their marriage, he's been the one with the, I don't know if I want to say fame, but I'm going to go ahead and say fame, as in Atlanta. I'm sure he was at one point more well-known than her when they were dating and when they got married.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is my wife, Quad. Oh, I'm the doctor. I'm the one that people know around town. And now, not only is she more known around Atlanta, she's probably, I mean, she's more known on a... National stage, too.
And not so only because people wouldn't watch just a show of doctors. I mean, they do, like, ER and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But there's no reality show has people take off on, you know?
So I think it is believable that he could feel threatened by her trying to step out on her own. Is it believable that they had this argument about it? No. I don't believe this argument, but I believe that any man, Gregory included, or anyone else, could feel threatened if their wife, who started from the bottom, is coming up above them.
I don't think she'll get above him.
Really?
Mm-mm.
What do you mean, financially or more notoriety?
No, like financially.
I think she certainly has the ability to.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
I mean, we see it all the time. Look at NeNe now.
Yeah,
her and Greg. Like,
but
they
Greg
got
ain't
married,
got no job.
Exactly, but when they got married, she was a stripper, and he had all the money.
But she said he wasn't even really that rich. He just was like, he was making it. You know,
he was making it. They lived in Atlanta, like, for Atlanta's standards. I'm sure he did have more coins than the average, but it's just like, and look at how those tables turn. So I think reality TV has the ability to do that. And I just feel like it takes a very strong man to be able to accept that. Because I feel like once you meet in the beginning, that's how the tone of the marriage is kind of set. Like, oh, I'm the one that has the money. I'm the one that's the provider. And whereas Quad is a little bit more, not a little bit more, a lot more independent, a lot more I want to get my own versus Toya, who we see that's kind of like, no, I don't want to do anything. I just want to be a stay-at-home.
I'm a mommy.
Yeah. And maybe Quad's opinion would, or you know, the way she does things, maybe it would change if she had real kids, maybe. But for right now, I just think that she thinks, like, and accurately so, she has a platform, she's gonna take advantage of it, and I don't know how Gregory's dealing with it.
I don't know.
Anyway, well,
I think with seeing next week, well, we'll save that for predictions.
Okay, yeah. Boom. All right, well, what this episode ends with and what kind of was going throughout the episode is, of course, Dr. Simone, mm-hmm. whose marriage is hitting a rocky patch because she's not sleeping with her husband. They were having some financial issues because of her business.
But now it's done.
Yeah, it's done because they were using it in the past tense. So she decides to come up with this fantastic romantic dinner for her husband on the golf course. He's really a huge golf fan. They're going to have dinner on the 18th hole. She gets her boys involved. She gets Jackie involved. And so you want to just discuss the dinner, or is there anything you want to discuss before that, or... I will say that her boys were a bit disrespectful, I felt. I mean, maybe it's they think of Jackie as like an aunt and they like grew up with her, but I don't know. I just was always taught, like, if you go into someone else's house,
you don't go in the fridge.
Yeah, and just be, like, respectful. Like I get it if you don't have any food, but, like, there's a way to be like, Miss Jackie, can we order a pizza? Instead of, like, you don't have any food?
Food.
We want food. No, I don't want that apple. What's Benadryl? I don't know. They were just a little too comfortable for me.
It was weird.
But, I mean, maybe they look at Jackie as, like, their Aunt Jackie, so maybe we don't know their relationship. But, anyway. Is that what?
No, I didn't even want to talk about that.
Okay, you don't want to talk about that? Did you want to talk about anything else before leading up to it or what?
Was that? No, that was during it.
Yeah, it was during it, but simultaneously, Simone is having dinner with Cecil. So
you want to discuss that? I think it's nice to see that Jackie is at home and that, you know, she gets to see her boys now at the house when she's telling them what she wants to plan. And her husband wasn't there, so it's kind of nice to see her not at the hospital. And she's like, still being a mom, like, put a comb to that head, boy. Like, she's not overseeing them because she doesn't know how to think that far ahead. And she wants, and she's thought about this, and the planning of it didn't really make sense the way she described it, but it came out beautiful. And for her to include her boys even made it more special, because I was just thinking, well, why do they need to come anyway?
I know. The boys were so excited, too. They were grinning like it was Christmas morning
when
they pulled up.
Which was really cute because, you know, even though she's neglected her husband, that's what they've basically really talked about. Really, the kids, too. And a lot of it, like, she hasn't been able to be a mother. Mm-hmm. Like, an actual mom that's cooking, coming home, going to all their games, doing all that. Which, she doesn't have a traditional,
marriage. Like,
marriage.
And house situation.
And job, I guess. Because it's like, she's running her own major business.
Yeah.
Like, people's life is depending on her.
Yeah. Well, someone mentioned that last week whenever the women were all sitting together and talking. Maybe it was last week or the week before that, that, like, marriage is different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that Cecil and Simone are, like, a good example of this. Mm-hmm. And I think that while they do things very unconventionally, mm-hmm. I think that it works for them.
Yeah, it does.
And I don't think that her children feel slighted. Like, I think they do sometimes, but I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it would be different if they grew up in, like, Toya and their mom was always there, and then all of a sudden she went to work and they never saw her anymore. But I gather that, like,
mind you, I think it's been Toya, like, that needs to start applying for a job.
You do? Oh, well, I mean, I just think that it's been like with Simone's kids, I think it's been like that their entire life. Like, they know my mom works. She's a hard-working
woman. Because
would you
say her job's a traditional job? It is. But it's,
I would just say it's a demanding job, and the hours are very unpredictable.
Right.
And I think they've had to probably deal with that, and they know now. I mean, maybe they were hurt the first couple of times she left them sitting outside of school for, like, 2 hours with their teacher. Maybe they were sad the first couple of times she didn't show up at their football game, but now
is
they're
that
probably
the scenarios?
Yeah, you know how it is. Right. You didn't never have to sit outside of school, because I did before.
No,
and my parents had traditional jobs. They were just doing whatever. Where y'all at? Because school let out 2 hours ago. And I'm still sitting here. The teacher pissed off at me. She looking at y'all crazy when y'all pull up. So, yeah.
That's so
anyway,
funny.
I digress. But the dinner was very nice. I thought it was very romantic. I thought it was a very cute idea.
Uh-huh.
So good for her. I'm glad that they discussed how they need to work on their marriage. But I got the sense that it may be a little too late. And I also couple that with, like, a heated discussion that we, like the previews for the season. Like, I feel like there was, like, some more drama between them and, like, her crying and, like, her discussing her marriage. And then with Cecil being like, well, I hope you know this isn't all. This dinner's not going to make up for it. Like, things need to change.
So did they to be continued or?
No. Was it to be continued?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
So I don't understand where, because it did on the preview make it seem like, ooh, maybe there's going to be a divorce this season.
Yeah.
Maybe there's going to be a separation. But I think, once again, with editing, they picked and choose what would draw the viewers in to watch this episode, because it was probably on the boring side and didn't even show that scene that they previewed. So the dinner made it seem like, yes, he was kind of like hesitant. He was like, yeah, with the money and this and that and that, what she can do for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it ended on a bad way.
I don't think this ended on a bad way. I think they probably went home and, like, made sweet, passionate love and all was well. But that was just disgusting. But I just think maybe there's going to be something else that we see.
But he came up with a solution. She said, what do you need from me to make? And his main issue is that she works long hours. Mm-hmm. And then she's charting at work and she's charting at home to go to bed.
What is charting? Just like keeping track of the...
All the patients that you see, uh-huh. you have to like put
Keep
everything
a chart. Okay.
the chart. So when they come back, you know where you their left history. Off okay. their history, mm-hmm. which, you know, they probably just write notes and then because they have next patients. So then they come back to all their files and actually write the appropriate stuff, the medicine they prescribe, all of
that. Yeah, she needs somebody in there
and
with
so
her.
And so he said to her, you should hire someone. He said, I understood. Because the charts were making the money. He was saying with the accounts receivable that she would have to fill out a chart, and each chart it was how she got her money during that pay time. So he was like, you know what? This is paying our bills, so I have to let her do that. Now she's got all of her accounts situated. He's like, you're still charting in the morning at work, and then you're charting all night in the bed. So that's all, and he even said, she started off the conversation with saying, my friends told me about these adult toys and this lingerie. He's like, you know, you're talking about this adult toys and lingerie and all of that, but I'm a, you know, old-fashioned traditional man. I just want you.
Yeah.
Which is very cute and right. Like, and she actually in, you know, out of Simone fashion, which she was out of her element this mm-hmm. episode. She was like, you're right.
Well, the reason why I say it's a little too late is because I want to, and people watching slash listening may or may not know this reference I'm about to make. But a few years ago on Real Housewives of Orange County, mm-hmm. Vicki Gunvalson was having major issues with her husband, mm-hmm. who is no longer her husband, might I add. And she took him on this fabulous trip to the Bahamas or somewhere, mm-hmm. Dominican Republic. They renewed their vows when there. Mm-hmm. They both got new rings. They seemed all lovey-dovey on the cameras. Okay, boom. So either that reunion or the reunion after that, she admitted on camera and said, you know what? Y'all showed all that beautiful stuff on the camera. Me and Don went back that night, and he slept with his back to me. I slept with his back to him. I cried myself to sleep that night, and that's the night that I knew that it was over. So I'm not saying that this is an exact situation like that. Mm-hmm. And her and Don got a divorce. That's how the story ends. But I'm not saying
that situation. A lot of money was involved too, because he had lost his job and he was working.
Who, Don?
Don lost his job and was working at Home Depot. And Vicki was.
I don't know about that part.
You didn't know that?
No.
Do you follow that season?
Now I do. I don't watch this season, but I do. I've watched the other seasons.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, just okay. If you and your husband hit a rough patch where you know that you aren't satisfying him intimately as he would like, if you know that that's what's wrong, then what you start doing is, okay, boom, well, I know how to fix this. I'm going to do what I need to do in the bedroom and he'll be happy. When you get to a point where you say, oh, I need to plan this big romantic dinner, I think that that's when you panic and you're scared and you're like, oh, I need to do something and I need to go above and beyond. You see what I'm saying? So I think she realizes, like, that things are kind of bad, and I think that things may be worse than what we see here. And so I think that's why he is like, well, this is not going to be all. Like, things need to change. And I just don't know if they necessarily do or do not change after this dinner, be it that they went home and didn't sleep together, or be it that maybe they slept together for a few nights and then it stopped. But I think based on the preview for the season, something may go awry.
You don't think
after this
dinner. They just wanted to use, the producers wanted to use that?
Well, I don't know.
Because he could have said it in a different...
on a picnic bench. We saw them talking like on a picnic... Not in this setting. We saw them like talking on a picnic bench. Like,
I thought they were talking outside.
My marriage is in trouble.
Oh, then I don't know.
That's what I remember. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But don't you remember her saying like, my marriage is in trouble,
yeah,
or I'm maybe getting a divorce or something like dramatic like that?
I remember her saying her marriage was in trouble, but no telling that they may have
used that. Talking about this time.
Yeah. Because he didn't seem like he ended like bad on a bad note with her, and he told her what was the main issue.
Well, Vicki and Don didn't end on a bad note that night either, and that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah, but they
went
home
and they didn't even get it popping.
But they were having big, major money issues.
Even poor people hook up.
I know, but the thing is, when you're making more than your husband, and your husband is in a rocky time, and the recession hit, and he lost his job, and he's working at Home Depot, and you're bringing in all the paper, no matter of a nice vacation or not, being that powerful woman that Vicky is, she probably didn't want to even have sex with some man that works at Home Depot. I don't know, but you brought that up. I'm just saying.
No, I brought that up to say that oftentimes when we see something end on a happy note, we don't know what happens when the cameras stop rolling.
I hope.
I hope the best for them.
Yeah.
I know you think that I'm jealous because I have a crush on Cecil. And yes, I do.
Because I'm like, girl, you brought up this whole scenario and I'm like trying to follow it. So I'm like, how did you get all of that from that? Because
I do have a crush on Cecil. I will admit that.
So you're like,
I'm not going to see anyone's marriage break up. I wish the best for them. And I think they're such a cute family. Like, I like their dynamic. I think her kids are really cute. I like their joking, whatever. But I'm just saying,
I don't know. See them in the car going on a trip together, the couples retreat, and yeah. She planned that. No, did she plan it?
No, she planned it. No, she did.
Yeah. So I think that they're fine. I think the producers wanted to bring more drama. Hopefully, wanted to bring more drama to that so we could watch the episode. But I don't think her and her husband, because actually,
I don't think they're divorced. We would have heard about it.
For her. He tweets, like retweets half the stuff she tweets about. Her Twitter.
No, so. I don't think they're getting a divorce. I don't think they're divorced, but I'm just saying, I don't know if all is well.
Hopefully it is.
Hopefully. Oh, well, anyway. Well, that wraps up this episode, so.
Wait, we need news and gossip.
I know, that's what I was about to talk to. Uh-oh. Dang. TV News. Do you have any news and gossip?
No.
Okay, well, our news and gossip is that we have none, besides the fact that Cecil apparently tweets and retweets everything that Simone says, so they're not divorced.
No, we need someone to go get we need someone to go get news on Toya's house.
Yeah, more on that next week. Well, that's all for news and gossip.
Predictions.
And now, your Michelle. After Buzz TV
predictions. Okay. I'll go first. Allow me.
Okay, go ahead.
My prediction is that Lisa Nicole's fashion show, as far as models and lighting and everything, is going to be the bomb. But I predict that there will probably be a fight or some kind of drama between the ladies when they're that's going to potentially ruin everything.
Doom, doom, dun, doom. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, exactly. Okay, I have something exciting. Okay, we saw a little preview for next week that, what's his name? Dr. G.
Gregory
makes a comment saying that it's very hard for men to stay faithful. Quad makes a comment by saying, well, is there something like you need to tell me? And then what was Dr. Heavenly on the outside on the porch talking to him about?
She was, I think, trying to ask him if he cheats. Which, get out of my husband's face, thank you. I would love to know if he's cheating on me, but don't ask him and try to call me out, because you know Dr. Heavenly has a way of trying to call people out and put people on blast, and you're not going
to
do it.
And she has a way of telling it to you in such a nice, nasty way that's like, honey, if you were more submissive to your husband, or if you made more carrots, or like, you know what I mean?
If you made cupcakes every night.
Then your husband would love to have sex with you or love to stay with you. Because, honey, you aren't married to medicine. Medicine is married to you. So,
well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying he does, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the men on this show cheat. Men everywhere cheat. It's a sad reality. And these people are doctors in Atlanta, straight doctors in Atlanta, where there's like...
Brothers.
Yeah, and there's like 75 women to like every one man that's straight.
And half, so, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if one or two of these men have kind of stepped out on their marriage.
And if their women are filming long hours and they're all worried about glam squad and puppy coutures, I hope he hasn't, though. I just, you know, I don't ever want to see anybody. I wouldn't even want that for Mariah, and you guys already know.
Mariah's husband probably doesn't cheat.
No, I don't think he does.
No.
But
he wasn't who I had in mind.
And he's actually, you know what? Go for Mariah. And I know you guys don't believe me when I'm saying this, but she got a good man.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, like he seems like he handles his family very well. And this is a blended family at that, you know.
Black edition.
And it's not traditional. He's, you know, he's Indian, but he's not traditional. He married a black woman in Atlanta. And he has a little swag.
He does.
So hello, somebody. We need to see that hairline.
With that new hairline, I might have a crush on Aiden now.
Hello, somebody. You said he looked handsome.
He did look handsome.
Move on to Aiden. Yes. Move on to Aiden. Leave Cecil alone. Let him gather.
Aiden's married too.
Let him gather his relationship back together.
Can I move on to somebody single? Shoot. Anyway, well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We've had loads of fun recapping this episode of Married to Medicine. Until next week, where can we find you, English?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Pink English, as well as on that thing called Twitter, English Speaks.
You guys can find me, if you care to, on Instagram and Twitter at Michelle Renee TV. Mm-hmm.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.